this is Michael Mazzalonga with another edition of Bible Talk. Heaven helps those who help themselves. How many times have you heard people use this expression and think that they're actually quoting the Bible? Well, if you read the Bible, you will not find this quotation there. As a matter of fact, the Bible doesn't even teach this particular idea. Now, there are many such sayings that people use thinking that they have received them from God, when in truth they're merely expressions that have been handed down from generation to generation. Well, today on our program, we're going to try to separate myth from reality. We're going to try to separate what people think the Bible teaches from what is actually written there. So, we invite you to get your Bibles out, a pencil, perhaps a piece of paper to jot down some questions, and join our group study today as we try to explode some of the more popular religious myths of our day. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this.
Should have got it before. You know, I have a pet peeve I want to share with you, okay? And my pet peeve is what I called supermarket religion.
All right.
You know what supermarket religion is?
Yeah. No.
Okay, what's supermarket religion?
That's when you go to Steinberg's and faith is on special.
No, yeah.
Pick anything you want.
Yeah, that's it. You go. Here's your shopping cart. You know, shopping cart religion. You know, you go through all the different doctrines and all the different teachings, and you go through and say, well, I like this one here. Oh boy, faith. That's good. Heaven. Hey, heaven. I'm into heaven. On special heaven. You know, you go by hell. No. I don't like hell. I don't like that idea. Do good to people you don't like. You know, and that's supermarket religion. And you know why I have that kind of pet peeve? Because I don't mind. Thank you, Mars. I don't mind if someone isn't a Christian or isn't. Well, I do in a sense, but you know what I mean. Like, I don't mind someone who doesn't profess to be a Christian or disciple of Jesus Christ, who kind of makes up his own religion.
That's okay. Right, that's right.
But I do mind when someone says, "I am a Christian. I am a disciple of Jesus," but he doesn't do what Jesus says he should do. And that's what I call supermarket religion. Let's look at Matthew 28. I think our Bible study should take off from Matthew 28 this time. Do we know Matthew 28 by heart, or do we know? We know Matthew 28 by heart, obviously. Okay, Matthew 28, verse 18. Somebody, who wants to read that?
Let me get that.
Okay, Mo, you ready?
Okay, go ahead.
Matthew 28, 18. Says, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age." Okay, there's three things we notice in that scripture. I want to see if you're a good Bible student. What's the first thing you notice? Quickly.
Christ has all authority.
Right. Christ has all authority.
Yes. Making disciples of all nations.
Okay.
Teaching the word.
You have to make disciples of who?
Christ.
Everybody.
All nations.
And what's the third thing?
He'll always be with us.
Well, that's the fourth thing.
Baptize.
Very good,
Mike. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Okay, baptize. Yeah, it's clear. There's one little thing I'm looking for, though, in particular.
Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you.
There was a reason why we had Heather here,
I stole it. I'm sorry. You have the same thing?
Open your eyes. No. Jesus said that he had all authority. So that gave him the right to tell the apostles, go make disciples of everyone. Mm-hmm. And then he told them how to do that. How? By baptizing them. And then he said, after you've made disciples by teaching and baptizing them, then you're to teach them everything that I have taught you. Mm-hmm. And I think that blows out of the water this idea of this supermarket religion. He says, teach them everything that I've taught you. Okay. Well, we're into myths. This whole program this week is into myths. So I want your favorite myths now. It's time to, you know, kind of wire up the dynamite. You know, we're gonna have fun with some myths. Anybody have any myths that they want to get into?
One of them that I have a hard time with when I talk to people is the idea that they just have to believe, you know. Obviously, belief is the basis of the discipleship with Christ, you know,
okay.
The walk with Christ. But it's very comforting, you know. All I have to do is believe, and I can just continue to do as I do.
I don't have to obey.
And obviously, there's a big element of repentance.
Right.
Being a disciple of Christ is not just believing, but that is the basis. You know,
that is
our belief leads us to our good works, our good deeds.
Right. Any other myths?
Yeah. One myth I like is, like I was saying before, people who say that, listen, all that God really cares about is if you're a good person, you don't do anything wrong to anybody, and you live your life, and that's all he really cares about.
Okay, what's wrong with that myth?
It leaves out Jesus Christ.
Okay. Amen.
For one.
Second of all, the standard differs with everybody.
Yeah, who's to decide what's good?
And as it, you know, that's almost true, though, that if you love, because when they asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself.
Right.
He says, if you do these things, you'll be saved. Well, it's true. If you do love everybody all the time, you will be saved. But the thing is, we can't do it.
That's the
thing.
Is,
we can't.
And what you said is important, too. Like, he said, who did he say to love first? He didn't say love everybody. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul.
Yes.
And then you love other people. That leaves out the picture of God. It's like, do good to everybody. God doesn't come into the picture.
I'm convinced that for exactly that reason, that we all fall short of the glory of God, Christ had to come. You know, God in the flesh had to forgive man of his sins, you know? Mm-hmm. Because of that very reason, that none of us can do that perfectly.
That's right.
You had to be divine, you know? You had to have a divine nature.
Mm-hmm. I have a myth that I want to throw in here. This is the one that I used to believe when I was younger. As a matter of fact, I even taught this. So if any of my students, my ex-students are listening to this, please forgive me. God has, but I want them to forgive me. I used to believe the idea that all roads lead to God. Mm-hmm. I remember even drawing like a mountain on the blackboard and putting God at the top and say, this road leads to God, and that road leads to God, and this road. You know, isn't that comforting? All roads lead to God. I think the official term in the old theological book is called, it's called the doctrine of universality. Universal. Everyone's saved. All roads. Just, and the key is, so long as you're
doing good.
Nope. So long as you're sincere, you know, you worship that rock if you're
sincere. I'm sure that Hitler was sincere, you know, I mean, that, no, in the sense that I'm using an extreme to make an example that we can be sincere murderers. Charles Manson was sincere, pardon the example, but, you know, I can sincerely hate you as well.
Mm. Well, that's why
we know that's not good.
That's why Jesus mentioned the first command to be to love God, you know.
And you know, what I always think of is the person that brings out this idea of sincerity is all that counts. Well, if you have a headache and I give you an aspirin, okay, and I tell you it's an aspirin, but really it's cyanide, well, I don't care how sincerely you believe that's cyanide, it'll kill you.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, it'll kill you. So sincerity is not the key, because sometimes sincerity does not protect you.
It's what you believe.
Yeah.
That's
well, I think also it's what you believe. In other words, if the person you believe in has no power to do for you what you ask him, then it doesn't matter how much you pray. I mean, you know, look at certain religions. Unfortunately, people cut their wrists, they bleed, they offer their children as human sacrifice to some dumb idol, you know, piece of wood.
Fun example is when we looked at, for example, Elijah.
Yeah, I was
going to
say that.
When he...
No.
With the author.
Really?
Author.
And, you know. When he assembled the prophets of Baal, told them, okay, serve Baal if Baal is God, and I'll serve God if God is God. And the priests cut themselves, they cried, they stamped, they danced, they did everything, and nothing happened.
Right.
Yet they sincerely believed
That Baal would do it.
That Baal would light that sacrifice up.
Right.
And yet we know that Elijah's was the only one that God responded to.
Right. I think it's illogical, too. I think this idea that all roads lead to God is illogical. You know why? Because if all roads lead to God, then why did God give different information to all groups, which is conflicting?
Right, exactly.
Some groups say Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Others say he isn't the Son of God. Others say he was a heretic. You know. Well, I mean, you know,
and Buddha's the way, and
Buddha's
this
the way.
Is the way, and that's the way.
So it's illogical.
I had that discussion with somebody, and he quoted me for this argument in John 14:6 to nullify all roads and leave only one open.
Mm-hmm. He says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I was going to read it.
Right. Yeah, it's specific. So maybe the point I'm trying to make here is if you are a Christian, then there's some specific things you believe. I mean, you can't say on one hand, I'm a Christian, and then on the other hand, not believe in Jesus Christ. Or you can say, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in going to church, because that's You know, those are mutually exclusive. You know, if you're a Christian, you do belong to the church because that's where God puts you. He puts you in the church.
Besides, have you ever thought about the saying, all roads lead to Rome?
Yeah.
I mean, how can that be? I mean, I bet you
if you just take
La Trois, the 323
the Highway
to Verdun,
20 doesn't, I can bet.
It's got nothing to do. It won't go to Rome. It won't go to Paris. It won't go to anywhere.
It barely goes to the West Island.
That's right. I don't know where they got that.
Well, let's get another one here. We just got some more time in this class here.
The one I like is that God is in everything.
Oh yeah.
I don't know how.
What's the official word?
Okay.
Pantheism.
Pantheism. Yeah. I don't know if that's. I don't know, a lot of people cling to that, but I don't want to offend them. But when the Bible says, "In the beginning, God created," and what he's saying here is he was outside and apart from his creation.
Right.
God could not have been in his creation and still be God.
Amen. That's right.
And that's why we can't go into an atom or out into the universe looking for God.
That's right.
God is spirit.
Yeah.
That's right. Right.
Good point. Good point. Yeah. I like, there's one that I like that I hear a lot because, well, like you, not any more than you, you guys have Bible studies with people and you share your faith. But have you ever heard, after you've made a biblical point with someone, showing them, what do they say all together now? It depends on your interpretation. Yeah. Right. That's just your interpretation.
Well, yeah, you know?
Right. Well, okay, what's the answer?
Interpretation.
What's the answer to that? That's a myth.
There can be 10 meanings to an explanation or an idea that God is giving.
Right.
I mean, people have different ideas.
Give me a Bible thing. Answer with you. First Peter, have you got First Peter?
Yeah, we read it earlier today.
Didn't we?
Yeah.
First Peter, did we? It was my class. Just to show you where my memory is going.
I was listening.
First Peter, have you got it? I've got one if you haven't got that one. I've got Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go to Ephesians since we're not finding Peter there. See, there's so many ways that you can, you know. Ephesians chapter 4, let me see, I had it in my notes. Verse 4. It says, there is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. How many lords?
One.
How many faiths?
One.
That sounds like a cheerleading here section. But it's true. Isn't that what it teaches? There's not two lords. You know, Jesus isn't on one hand God and on the other hand just a prophet. I mean, he's one or the other. The Bible teaches just one thing. We invite our people to stay with us. We'll be right back after this. But we continue in our discussions. Oh, look, you guys are fading. All right, I've got one here. This is one that I was accused of. If you read the Bible, you're going to go
nuts.
Yeah, you're going crazy. That's a myth. No, I'm serious. Hey, I think I mentioned in the show, you know, the idea that I saw in the newspaper. Didn't I mention that? You see in the newspaper, you know, man kills wife and then self after reading Bible.
I mean,
you know, get serious, you know. Well, okay, how do you refute that? Refute that.
If one could read the Proverbs and see the wisdom involved in the Proverbs,
right?
How can you say that such wisdom can drive you nuts?
Right.
You know, can wisdom drive you nuts?
I think that the light shone in the darkness and it just shed a little light on that person's heart. You know.
Yeah. That's a good parable.
Another thing you often find is, especially when you read the, you know, you hear so many sayings.
Yeah.
Like the fact that you should look before you leap.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Things like that. Don't speak before thinking. All of these common sense sayings, when you read Proverbs, the book of Proverbs in particular, you see where they come from.
Right.
So you know that a book that's the root of what's called these common sense things that the world speaks of, it's obviously not going to tell you to go on, drive you crazy, and lead you to kill yourself.
You can't get bad fruit from a good tree.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Maybe
right.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. Well, I think we need to move on. There's some other. There's one that I want to talk about. I think it's the most common misconception. This is about judging people, and it goes like this. You get some fella who's, you know, rotten. He's rotten. Let's say, you know, he's a rotten guy, beats his wife, drinks too much, blows his salary, loses his job, kicks the dog. You know, he's really rotten. But his mother will say, yes, but down deep inside, he's really a nice person.
All right. He's a good guy.
He's a good guy. Down deep inside, we're all really good down deep inside. I think that's a misconception. Why?
For sure. Well, his fruits are coming out. I mean, he's showing the world and everyone around him that what's in his heart is... he's showing it in what he does.
Okay.
And also, I think, God disagrees with that. It's a nice thing that moms are there to back us up when we kind of fall short.
We need money.
But still, when we look at what God intends for us, what he wants us to do, it's really, as we talked about fruits, something that is help your love your neighbors as you love yourselves.
Right.
And if somebody is supposedly good, he has to show it. That's show me right. Your faith through your work, James says.
Right, he did. Right. Right. Exactly.
And Paul continues it in a very familiar verse, Romans 3:23.
Right.
All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory.
Right.
We all do it. And he continues it in the whole book, read the Bible, it always repeats the same thing. Right. He's talking about the struggle within him. He wants to do good in Romans 7, but he can't. He just can't. He said, who will save me? He has to look for someone else for help.
What is his reply?
Wretched man I am, Jesus Christ will save me from this body of death.
Right.
That's right.
There is no condemnation for those who are in
Christ,
Christ
Jesus.
Romans 8:1. Amen. 8:1, right? And I think it goes against all history, all evidence of history. All evidence of history points to the fact that man is basically a selfish person. I mean, he's been responsible for a war and cheating and lying and killing and so on and so forth. And I think the evidence of history points against the idea that down deep inside, man is basically good.
And also, the reason why that man might have gone crazy is that for the same reason that the men of Jesus' time went crazy, he struck out at their self-centeredness and their self-seekingness. And he said, you must repent, So what it is, in fact, is that God is contrary to the world we live in.
Amen. That's
true. The world of evil.
The wisest person that ever came on earth, besides Jesus Christ, Solomon. And he fell short. He was supposed to be very good.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah.
And he fell short.
Yeah. That's right, he did.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Bible teaches us that man was created good. I don't want you to get me wrong here. I'm not pushing this idea of depravity, like man is depraved and so on and so forth. I'm saying that the Bible teaches that God created man as being good, but also he chose the other way. And because of his choice, the result is that now his flesh, his nature is disposed to sin, to evil, to worldliness.
There's another thing also. Who cares if deep inside he's good anyway?
Because his mother.
Well, Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, he said, the good guy and the bad guy will end up in the same place. Both will be buried and die, and whatever they've done, no one will remember them.
I can hear people echoing in my ear, we can't. We have to sin. It's impossible not to sin. But 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that we can do it. With the help of God, there's no trial that are bigger than what we can cope with.
Yeah.
In response to what Rafi said, though, I think it's important that you realize, though, that Solomon was being showing a bit of sarcasm when he says that, because we know that people don't end up in the same place, whether you're good or bad. When he says that, for example, that he's talking about the earth.
Right. About physical,
yeah.
He's talking about
physical sense. Physically, we all end
up. I think he's talking about having tried it himself to be good, without God, having tried to be bad also. And he's tried about everything, and how does he finish, Mm-hmm. Just believing God, fearing God, and obeying his commandments. What he means is that it doesn't matter how good you are, because we'll all end up the same without God.
And the point, too, is that man has the ability to recognize what is good. And I think that's the point. I think you were kind of jumping on the idea that we can't. I saw you jump. You go, what do you mean we can't? But man has the ability to recognize what is good. He has the ability to recognize what he ought to do. We don't dispute that idea. The point we're trying to make is he doesn't have the ability to do what he knows he ought to do.
Or at least in all situations. You know?
Okay, at least in all situations. But you know what? I don't know about you, but I want to do the right thing in every situation.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, it bugs me when I blow it. Yeah, it bugs me when I blow it, you know. All right, any other myths?
Yeah, I've got one.
Okay.
How about, you know, religion is good, but everything is good in moderation.
Oh, yeah, that's
very
a great
good.
One.
Just, you know,
like alcohol.
You know, just religious Greeks.
Don't get into it too much.
That's right.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Don't watch hockey till the finals of the Stanley Cup. You know, I mean, you know, if people spent just as much time or one-tenth of the time that they spend on TV.
Right.
I mean, you know, what is moderation, really?
Yeah,
that's right. Except for this particular half hour.
That's right.
That's right, well said. I've got a favorite myth, my favorite one, and that is heaven helps those who help themselves. What does that mean? First of all, let's dissect here. Let's put that on the operating table, on the Bible Talk operating table. Let's dissect. What does that mean? What is that saying?
Does it mean that those that try really hard, well, God will help them? Does it mean?
It almost suggests partiality.
Right.
I think so.
Indeed. I think it does.
It's kind of like God doesn't do anything until we do it.
Right.
And it really, when we look at history, that's not what happened.
Yeah.
People crucified Christ because they didn't want to love him, but he still died for them.
Right. Yeah. Romans 8:5 says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Was it something that we had done? No. We were still sinners.
It also gives the idea that you can get what's contrary to God's will done simply through a little bit of effort and initiative.
Right. You get this idea, look, pick yourself up by your bootstraps, you know, and once you get your act together, then God will see that you're getting your act together, then he will, you know, he'll come down and he'll help you. But if you don't start getting your act together, forget it, buddy. He's not going to help you. And that's what that's, you know, heaven helps those who help themselves.
And that's the biggest form of silent rebellion there is against God, because people want to do it their own way, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They, that sort of thing. And you have to ask yourself, do they believe in the living God who has revealed himself through his word, or just some kind of God that they've concocted, you know?
Well, what's wrong with this idea?
God is not the initiator.
Right.
You know,
God isn't the initiator.
He's not sovereign.
That's right. He's not sovereign. It leaves to you the initiation of searching for God. Okay? What does it say in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1?
In the beginning
God created the heaven and earth. Was man there saying, would you move the sun over to the left? You know, he doesn't, you know, but it's like presumptuous, you know, to think that man is somehow partners with God. You help yourself, you throw in your 50%, God will throw in his 50%. And I hate this idea because it takes away the power of the gospel.
Amen.
The gospel says, guy, you haven't got a hope. You were in the middle of the Atlantic and the boat sank and there's a storm with 100 mile an hour wind going on. You don't have a life preserver. You need to swim to Europe. I mean, that's how hopeless your situation is. Okay? There's another idea.
There's still a way out of that one.
Pardon me?
There's still a way out of that one.
Oh, yeah?
Well, some people would say. But anyway, go on.
Well, I wanted to kind of bear into this idea of salvation. The idea that people think that they can save themselves.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's where
the works.
Have we got a scripture?
Ephesians 2:8.
Yeah.
Okay, 9. Ephesians 2:8. Just happened to be at Ephesians.
Oh, my goodness.
And this was not in the script, right?
You've been practicing?
Didn't say.
For it is by grace you have been saved, it says. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast.
Yes.
Amen.
And we also make the cross of Christ void when we say that we can save ourselves, because he is the Savior of the world. He came to save us.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
I think we should look at John chapter 15. That's a good one. I think we've got a little time left in our discussion here. John chapter 15. This is a pretty good one here.
Which one?
We invite people at home to join us too. John 15, verse 5. Jesus says, it's good. It says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. From apart from me, you can do practically everything. Is that what it says?
No.
No, it says, from apart from me,
what are you reading?
apart from me, you can do nothing. You can't save your soul. Here's a point. You can't even do anything to please God without Jesus Christ.
Without faith.
Without faith, it's impossible to please him.
That's right.
Because faith comes by hearing, and he was the initiator of the word.
Well, thank you for being with us for this particular section. So I want you to hang in there. We're going to come back. We're going to kind of wrap up everything that we've been talking about and make a little resume. So stay with us. We'll be right back right after this.
Talking about this idea that God is just too good to send somebody to hell. He loves us. How can he send someone to hell?
That's a good myth.
And we were discussing the idea that God is just. He has to punish injustice, otherwise he cannot be God. If God is not just, it's not worth discussing this.
And
this
when I talk to people about that, you know, I hear that sometimes. I usually use the example of gravity. I say that in the same way that we're subject to physical laws, we're also subject to spiritual laws.
That's right.
And when you drop a ball, it falls. Well, when you sin or when you fall short of the glory of God, you stand to fall. You stand to be... You're within the context of that spiritual law. So.
And I think that brings home the idea that it's important to separate truth from myth.
That's right.
Because believing something that's false is dangerous for your soul.
Right.
You
yes,
know?
It
so,
is.
Go ahead.
A lot of people.
We thank all of our viewers at home for being with us. We hope that you'll join us again next week as we tackle some other Bible subject. Thank you again. God bless you. See you next time. Bye-bye.